Gracious Father, we do thank You once again for Your Word, that we have a sure foundation upon which to travel upon this earth, that You have given us direction and instruction from Your Word as to how we should live. Even as we sang, our God, we know that we are to walk in a way that is according to the truth of Your Word, that is, that we're to walk by faith and not by sight. Again, we pray that You would be with the Copeland family, comfort, strengthen, and uphold them by Your grace and by Your power and mercy. For those that are sick, our God, we ask for healing mercies. We pray, Father, that You would also bless no others to get sick. We would pray during the time of the next few days of a lot of traveling, visiting, and so on with regard to the death of Brother Copeland, that You would bless all to go well and smoothly and give everyone traveling mercies. Our time on this earth is short. Just a few days. Even if by reason of strength that our days be fourscore. Yet we're as a flower here today, yea, even as the grass gone tomorrow. Life indeed is short. Children think that they have many days ahead of them. It won't be but just a short time they'll look back and say that it just seems like yesterday, such and such. Now bless us as we look into Your Word. Guide us for the cause of Christ, that we may honor You in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. As you know, last Lord's Day afternoon, we began looking at, from the passage in Hebrews 11:6, and talking about the reward of faith. The reward of faith. Our text is, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. And they that come for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And we looked last Lord's Day at the fact that we please God only by faith. If our attendance and our worship today is not done in faith, then it is impossible to please God. The only difference between one man and another is that God gives a man faith. We do not come up with faith on our own. We are given faith. And we find that salvation is by grace. It is through faith. But it is by grace, and the grace is given to us by God. The faith is given to us by God. And faith does not save in and of itself, but it is a channel whereby we receive the salvation of God. We want to look, or begin to look, if we do not get through with it, but we'll start looking anyway, and look this afternoon at the fact that God is a rewarder. Now let me say at the outset, we do not serve God for rewards. We serve God out of a pure motive of love and devotion to Him. If you're serving God for rewards, then your work, then your service is of works and not of grace. We need to realize that. Your service would be of works and not of grace if you serve God for rewards. Now that's where people go wrong many times about rewards. Oftentimes people think that when you talk about rewards, it is talking about you doing something and earning something from God and God rewarding you for what you do because you do it. Now that's a half-truth. God does reward His children in their service to Him, but His children do not serve Him for the reward. We want to make that plain. We also want to make plain that any rewards that are given are of grace. It's not because you deserve it. But we don't want to go to the opposite extreme and say because some may use the doctrine or the subject of rewards in a wrong sense that we're to do away with it altogether. The text says that God is a rewarder. And God rewards those that diligently seek Him. So we can't say, well, if I'm just a child of grace, it doesn't matter what I do, then God's going to reward me. No, He rewards those that diligently seek Him. You can't say, well, I'm going to seek God, therefore I'll get rewards. That's the wrong motive, and you won't get rewards. You say, well, that's quite confusing. It is confusing to the natural man and to the natural mind in many ways because they look at one or the other. They don't look at both of them in their proper perspectives. So we don't want to go to the extreme on one hand nor the other. We want to try to keep a balance in this, but the Scriptures definitely state that those who diligently seek God, not those who seek the reward, but those who seek God, God rewards them. Those who diligently seek God. Now let me ask you a question. In your daily reading, in your praying, in your occupations, as you go about your daily activities, in your conversations with others, do you diligently seek God? Do you diligently seek God? Do not expect to be rewarded if you do not seek God. Salvation and blessings from God are given to us of grace and not by works. Yet God rewards our service of faith. God rewards our service of faith. Again, let's look at the fact that God is a rewarder, and let's look at this word with reference to rewards. We've already looked at Hebrews 11:6. Turn back to Hebrews 2:2. We'll begin at the first verse of Hebrews 2. Therefore what? Therefore the fact that Jesus is made better than the angels. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Notice, a just recompense of reward. Here we see again that under the Old Testament, everything all of the infractions under the law had a just recompense of the reward. Now, let me ask you something for just a second. What is the word recompense? The word recompense means payment or wages for work done. It's a payback. I go to work, and twice a month, I get recompensed for my work. I get a paycheck. That's the word recompense. Every disobedience, every transgression receives a just payment for rewards. Recompense for rewards. So rewards may be good, rewards may be bad. We're looking at the fact that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That's good rewards. But we're also looking at the word reward. It just means a payment. God pays His children for doing what they ought to do as He works grace in them to do those things. That's a good God. That's a good God. When a parent gives his children chores to do, and they do those chores in a delightful way and diligently do them, he sometimes rewards his children for what they've done when they've only done what they ought to do. They were unprofitable to begin with. That's what God does for us. In Hebrews chapter 6, we find the word again. Verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your works and labor which ye have shown toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now the word reward is not there, but the concept is, God is not unmindful to forget what you do. That's the concept there. God does reward, and He doesn't forget. He's not unrighteous. He doesn't forget. Sometimes we as parents, we may tell our children we're going to do something, and we just forget. It's not that we didn't mean to. It just slips our mind. Sometimes we may not tell them that we're going to reward them in a certain way and still forget. But God's not unrighteous to forget. God remembers. And He knows everything you do, and He will reward you as you have done that diligently seeking Him. A lot of the times we may get a good idea, might be a bad idea, but we get an idea and we're going to do something. And it might be something that we're going to do for the congregation or in and around the congregation. It might be something we're going to do to the meeting house where we meet or something of that nature. And we do that for a while, and then all of a sudden nobody says anything about it and say, well, I'm just going to quit. Nobody cares. Nobody notices. Nobody appreciates what I do. So just why should I even do it to begin with? Well, it's done for the wrong reason. It's done for recognition. It's not done diligently seeking God. When the psalmist said, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked, he didn't say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper if people tell me what a good job I'm doing. His delight is being a doorkeeper in the house of God. I've often said, you know, I don't know whether we're going to sweep streets in glory or not. I doubt it. But if we did, and God made me a street sweeper, I would rejoice sweeping the streets of glory. And I wouldn't be envious of somebody else that was sitting beside the Savior all day long. Just like the Lord told Peter. He said, after the Lord told him to feed his sheep three times, the Lord said, well, what's this man going to do? Peter did. So, talking about John, what's he going to do? Lord said, you don't worry about him. What if I just have him sit down and do nothing till I come back? You do what I told you to do. Your children are that way. You give them a job to do. Well, what's so-and-so going to do? Well, it doesn't matter what so-and-so is going to do. None of your business what so-and-so is going to do. You do what you're told to do. That's the way we are with the Lord. Doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. Am I doing what God called me to do? And therefore, he that diligently seeks God, his desire and his delight is to do what God requires. You take a young man or a young woman, or take both of them. They're courting. They're diligently seeking each other. And they're diligently doing things for each other because their delight is in the other. It's not a what can I get out of this thing. This is the way our service is to be to God. And God's not going to forget it. He's not unrighteous to forget. Look at Hebrews 10. We find this concept again in Hebrews 10. 35. Well, we'll begin at verse 32. After he had already said that vengeance belongs unto the Lord, and the Lord will judge his people, and it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And then he reminds the Hebrew saints of how it was with them when they first began to serve the Lord. In verse 32, but call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Think about when you first began to love the Lord. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. As we continue to serve God by faith, He shall reward our service of faith if we don't stop. And then in Hebrews 11, not verse 6, but verse 26, talking about Moses, who chose rather to suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. In verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. God holds before us the precious truth that He rewards faithful service. You say, well, God never has rewarded me. Well, maybe you haven't served Him faithfully. Maybe you've been serving Him for the rewards. Remember our text. God rewards those that diligently seek Him, not the reward. They seek Him. Like James says, the blessing is in the doing. The joy of serving God is doing it. It's not what you get out of it. Let's look at some other passages along this line. I want to establish the fact that God is a rewarder and there is such a thing as rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave it the increase. So then neither he that planteth anything is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Did you hear that? Every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. I tell you, beloved, how you serve God, He will reward you. God honors those that honors Him. Sometimes people try to advance in some project, and they seem to never get anywhere. They're always spinning their wheels and never attaining, and it seems like there's one stumbling block right after the other in front of them. Well, it's very likely the reason is God is hindering because you're not putting Him first in your life. Dropping on down into, well, let's just continue reading. Verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundations. And another buildeth their own, but let every man take heed how he buildeth their own. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Notice. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, who's this talking about? Talking about children of God. Naturally, the wicked shall receive a reward. Their reward is hell. You say, well, I don't know that this is talking about children of God. Listen. He's talking to ye, the church at Corinth. He's talking to the saints of God at Corinth. Notice the next verse. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? What he's talking about here is children of God as they labor, and if they don't labor properly, they won't receive a reward. But he will reward those who diligently seek him. God is a rewarder. God rewards the work of faith. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you're not working the work of faith. Well, I want my rewards in this life. If I don't get them in this life, then I just don't want them. Well, you may never have them. Because when are the rewards given here? Notice what it said. The day shall declare it. What day? The day of judgment. Well, how do you know that's the day of judgment? Just get your Strong's out and look up the word, the day, and that day. We'll look at some of these as we continue forth. God shall try every man, and He will reward every man. We receive rewards in this life. There'll be some that will be given in the day of judgment. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, let me ask you something. We may look at some of these verses later. You remember our Lord told about some people that He gave talents to? And what happened to them after the day of judgment? Some were rulers over cities. You said, well, are there going to be cities in heaven? There may very well likely be. You remember when we were talking about the glory world? How the kings of the earth bring their glory unto that holy city, that New Jerusalem, that came from God out of heaven? There's a lot that we don't know of what the glory world will be like. But God said He would reward in that day. The day shall declare it. Of what sort every man's work is. And if his work is not burned up, he'll receive a reward. So what do you mean burned up? Let's say that somebody has a lot of money and they build a church building for a congregation of people, and he puts his name in one of the stones there that he has dedicated the money and built that for them. Now, he could do that and it be to the glory of God, or he might do that just because he wanted his name in that stone. Well, that's going to burn up someday. His work was done in vain. It's burned up. There's no reward in that. If what we do is to be seen of men, the fire shall destroy it, and there's no reward for it. Whether it's cleaning the church building, wiping off the board. Sometimes I come in here and somebody has cleaned the board off. Done a good job. They got down here, got the spray, cleaned it off. And you know, I notice it and I think, well, you know, I need to tell somebody that, and I forget it. But if somebody were doing that, and well, Brother Jimmy never even said anything about that to me. Did it for the wrong motive. He said, well, so you're saying we shouldn't encourage one another? No, we should encourage one another. And I'm remiss when I don't. And you're remiss when you don't. And we're all remiss at many times. But we're not talking about encouraging one another. We're talking about why we do what we do. Are we doing it for the glory of God, or are we doing it to get the praise of man? God rewards it. Your reward may be a handful of ashes. A handful of ashes. The fire may destroy it. Revelation 11. Revelation 11. Verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Now notice, this is in the future. This is in the future. People say, well, if you get any rewards, you're going to get it now in this life. You sow here, you get it now. Not necessarily. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and watched and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that Thou shouldst give rewards, or give reward, singular, unto Thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroyed the earth. When we receive rewards, it is up to the rewarder as to when he gives it. Your reward may not come until the final judgment. But either way, God rewards those that diligently seek Him. God rewards those that diligently seek Him. That's the point. Several years ago, I read, and I've related this illustration, this incident more than once, but it comes to mind again that a man was dying, and somebody asked him, how could he die when none of his children were serving the Lord? Or how could he die in peace? He said, because I know that while I had them, I raised them to the best of my ability to the glory of God. I did what I could when I had them. Well, this is one of those that turned out good in the end. He didn't know that, but after he died, God later converted all of his children into service unto Him. But the man didn't know that. But he died in faith knowing that he had done, not perfectly, nobody does that, but he knew that he had raised his children according to the Word of God. He had not raised his children according to the world. He had not raised his children according to the modern psychology and so on. He knew that he had taught his children, and he had raised them right, and therefore he had done that which he should, and he had diligently served God by faith, and he could die in faith. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at some of these illustrations, or some other illustrations. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, that's lying, for my sake. I've had a few lies told on me. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in this life. Didn't say that, did it? For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Beloved, when we are doing right, and we're serving God properly, and we're following Him according to His Word, and people don't like it, and people lie against us, and people tell bad things about us, rejoice! You say, well, I just can't do that. You know why? You're not living by faith, you're living by sight. I know what it is to live by sight. Feel sorry for myself. There's been a few times when I've had people to accuse me falsely and tell lies about me, and I immediately come back to this verse, and I just get happy. You say, well, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? How can you be so sure? Well, if that verse doesn't mean anything, then why don't we tear it out of the Bible? I take great comfort in what that verse says. When somebody has lied about me unjustly, when somebody has said things about me and accused me of things that I never even was thinking, and the furthest from it, I just have to rejoice. For great is my reward in heaven. You say, well, your reward's going to be heaven. I don't care. If that's all it is, that's all it is. I don't care. Doesn't matter what it is. I'm not worried about what the reward is. I'm not caring. That's not my purpose. I just know God's going to reward me. And I also am fool enough to believe that if I am wrong, God's going to let me know that too. And there's been a few times I've come to this verse and I say, God, Lord, I believe this. If I'm just self-deceived, I want You to wake me up and let me know that I'm wrong. But until then, I'm going to rejoice in the fact that You've blessed me just to suffer for Your name's sake. And I'm going to believe it. And you know what? It sure is a whole lot better to go on down the road rejoicing in the Lord than it is sitting around feeling sorry for yourself, what somebody said about you or done about to you. Well, they told a lie on me, and I tell you what, I'm going to call up every preacher across the nation, and I'm going to tell them how what they've said about me, and I'm going to write this book, and I'm going to write that book, and I'm going to write this paper, and I'm going to tell this one that, and I'm going to tell that one this, and I can't wait. All that does is just causes you to be wrapped up in bondage. And it robs you of your joy and your communion and your fellowship with Christ. No, beloved, I believe God rewards. I believe God rewards in this life. I believe He will reward in the life to come. And I believe that the rewards will be given of Him and they'll be just. In the same chapter, looking at the subject of rewards, we'll begin reading in verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. You know, most time we think people hate us when they really don't. It's because of our own idiosyncrasies that we've caused problems. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, did you hear what our Lord said? You say, I can't do that. By faith you can. What are you to do? Love your enemies. Now, He didn't say feel good about your enemies. There's a difference. You've heard me preach enough on that. We're not going to get into that now. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. It doesn't make you a child of God. It just shows that you are one. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what is it? Reward. What reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? The world! You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You do me a good deed, I'll do you a good deed. You treat me right, I'll treat you right. That's the world! But God says those that don't treat you right, you treat them right. And you love them. You pray for them. You do good to them. Why? You let God do the rewarding. And He will reward you accordingly if you do right. He'll reward them accordingly if they do wrong. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans? If we're just going to do good to those that do good to us, and we're just going to treat them right, that treat us right, we're no better than a heathen. There's no Christianity in that. Never has been, never will be. But if you live by faith, if you do what God says regardless of your feelings, if you live by faith, God will reward those who diligently seek Him. even as you love your enemies, to the glory of Christ. I've got a parallel passage here. I forgot to take notice of, but I want to turn there to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, verse 22. Kindly along the line of the Matthew 5, 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company. Oh, brother so-and-so, I don't want to be around him. Or if your children do right, and other children say, oh, you just want to do that. I don't want to be around you. Blessed are ye when men shall separate you from their company. They don't want to have anything to do with you. And shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of God's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. Say, that's crazy. I don't think God used a crazy word. Be happy. Leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. In like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Beloved, we are to live according to the Word of God, and God will reward us if we diligently seek Him. And the only way we're going to diligently seek Him is to serve Him as He has laid it out in His Word. That's walking by faith. That's walking by faith. Back in Matthew chapter 6, listen. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. There again. When you give your money, you don't have to brag about how much you give. You don't have to let somebody see you drop the money in. If you do, you don't get any reward. Otherwise you have no reward. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that ye may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. It's like these publicans, it's like these politicians. You know, when they're going to do something, they want the news media there. I told you about this several years ago. I told you before, I'll tell it again. There's this highfalutin congresswoman. They're really congressmen. But anyway, from one of these upper New England states that wanted to talk about how much their bill was, and they wanted to give this money for the poor. Had this bill for the poor. These people on the streets. And how we got to get these people off the streets and help these people off the street. Well, they had the news media there. There was cold weather. There was snow on the ground. She was standing over that manhole where that heat was coming up so the news media could picture her. But you know what they did before she stood on that manhole? They got that bomb off of the manhole. They got this man off the street out of that warm place so she could stand there and brag about her bill. Hypocrite. Hypocrite. She didn't mind the bum getting colder long as she could stay warm and brag about what she's going to do. That's what most people do that are not Christian. A lot of these people, philanthropists, they gave a lot of money away. But they made sure that their name was stuck on to every dollar bill that they gave. A lot of people go to the house of God. They put their money in. They want everybody to know how much they give. They got their reward. That's it. But they that do it the other way, their Father will reward them in heaven. Verse 5. By the way, let's read verses 3 and 4. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy right hand know what thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms may be seen in secret, may be in secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray. Hypocrites love to pray. Standing in the synagogues, they love to pray where people can see them. And in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They got it. What was their reward? Let somebody see them pray. What's their reward? Somebody saw them pray. They got what they wanted. That's their reward. But thou, the one that lives by faith, the child of God, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father in secret, that thy Father in secret shall reward thee openly. And then he tells you how to pray, not to use vain repetition, and so on and so forth. And when you fast the same way, you don't fast for people to see you. You don't fast for people to talk about, oh boy, you know. Some people say, boy, you know, I said, people come around. That's down in verse 16, 17. People say, yeah, I fast. I fast once a week. That's good. Yeah, I fast. And they go on and tell you about how they fast and why they fast and what the blessing it is and try to get you to fast and so on and so forth. That's not what fasting is all about. Why fast? To diligently seek God. Diligently seek God. I tell you, beloved, when you come to the end of your rope and you want to see God, and you want to have close communion with God, you'll fast. And you won't be interested in anybody knowing about it. You'll be rejoicing in Christ. Now, if you're on some health kick, and you fast so often on this health kick, that's fine. I have no problem with that. You can talk about it all you want to. That's not seeking God. You're trying to lose something there. You're not trying to get something. You're trying to lose something. Wait. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So see, if you reject Christ, you reject God and you reject God's servants. If you accept Christ, you not only accept God, you accept his servants. God's servants, Christ, and God are together in this thing. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. So what's a prophet's reward? I don't know. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Say, what is the reward? Don't know. But whatever it is, it'll be right, it'll be just, and you'll be pleased. Now, we've got a few more, but we're going to close here this afternoon. We're going to look at a few more next time, Lord willing. But we're going to see that God gives rewards as an incentive, just like parents do sometimes. Remember, our rewards are not of works. But you can see that we have established clearly from Matthew through Revelation that God gives rewards. Some of them are now, some of them are in the future. But it's only to those who serve Him by faith. Let's pray. Father, give us grace. Work in us faith, that we may believe Your Word, that we may lay hold upon Your truth, and that we may serve You diligently. Bless us to have great delight in service unto You. And for whatever reward there is, there will be some. We do not know what it will be. We do not know how many rewards we may lose out. But bless us to not worry about what the reward is. Bless us to have our hearts centered on You, that we may serve You diligently, and that we not lose the reward that You have for us as we would be obedient unto You. Work in us, our God, that we may work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. In Jesus' name, amen.